Okay, this is De Bello Gallico, Book 5, Chapter 27, picking up with line 10. All right, so neque id nor that, quod fecerit, which he did, de oppugnatione castrorum, concerning the attack on the camp, fecisse, had he done, out judicio, either according to his own judgment, out voluntate sua, or his own will, sed coactu civitatis, but by the compulsion of the state, suaeque esse eius modi imperia, and that his commands were, that his rule was of this sort, ut, that non minus, not that less, iuris, of right, multitudo, the multitude, haberet, held, in se, over him, quam ipse, in multitudinem, than he himself over the multitude. Let's see. So basically he's saying that they had more sway over him, that the common people had more power than he had over them. Civitati poro, for the state furthermore, hanc fuisse causam belli, this was the cause of the war, quod, because, non potuerit, he could not resistere, withstand, repetinae coniurationi, the sudden conspiracy, Gallorum, of the Gauls. Okay, so here there's something kind of interesting happening, where there's a shift of sequence of tenses. So let me translate that again and then talk a little bit about that. Okay, so nor that which he did concerning the attack of the camp, had he done either according to his own judgment or will, but by the compulsion of the state, and that his commands were of this sort, that not less of right the multitude held over him than he himself over the multitude. For the state, furthermore, this was the cause of the war, because he could not withstand the sudden conspiracy of the Gauls. Okay, so the sequence of tenses here is shifting from secondary to primary at this point, which you can see in the indirect, even in the indirect speech, by seeing the sequence of the tenses of the subjunctive. This will kind of explain the shift in translating the tenses of the infinitives, beginning with the next section. All right, so when we get there, I'll kind of explain that a little bit more. Okay, so throughout this section, you got a couple discussion points just to be thinking as you go through here. So even when Caesar is not present, he's present somehow. How does he accomplish this in his narrative? What kind of portrait of himself does Caesar paint with the words of an enemy? How might this have impressed Caesar's readers at home? What's believable about Ambiorix's statements, and what do you find suspicious? And he shifts the sequence of tenses from secondary to primary in the midst of the speech and the indirect statement. Where does the shift occur, and why do you think that Caesar chose this place for the shift? Also, we're going to talk a little bit about connecting this back to Virgil. How does Virgil use the speeches of others to depict Aeneas's character? And what impression do we receive of Aeneas? So, you know, we get, when Venus describes him, when Dido describes him, when his men describe him, we get these kind of images of Aeneas. So is the image of Caesar portrayed more consistently than the image of Aeneas? Why or why not? And, you know, for what reason? So we'll talk about all of those kind of discussion points tomorrow.